All right, if you have your Bibles, look with me in Exodus chapter 3. Appreciate all the good singing. Amen. That's a always get your heart ready for preaching. The good kind of singing, the kind that God's in and God anoints and Bible-based, it'll make you want to worship the Lord, get right with the Lord. These altars are always open. You notice some folks come during that time, and you're always welcome down to these altars. And we won't ever have a church without altars. I'm sorry. Some folks build these new churches, don't put altars in them, but it won't ever be that way here at Gloryland Baptist Church. They need to do business with altars. I want to preach this morning for a little bit on the thought, when God shows up, or when God steps in, or when God gets involved. I do like some of the fancy preachers. I give it four or five titles. You choose whichever one fits you. Amen. That got to be a habit around here about 30 years ago. A preacher would get up and he'd have two titles to all his sermons. I don't know what that was about, but, you know, so are y'all impressed when I done that? How many was impressed? Amen. See that? I'm reaching a few. Amen. I ain't got a whole lot to preach, but I got a pretty good title. Amen. It saddens my heart, and I know I say so much about this, and I'm not an old preacher as far as being in this thing a long time. God saved me late in life. But it sure saddens my heart to see the condition that God's people's in. And the condition of church, as a brother said, he got up here and sang about they've been in several churches and very little emphasis is put on the Bible in Sunday school and very little emphasis is put on the doctrines of the Bible and the truths of the Bible. And therefore, you're producing people. They're saved as they can get and they follow what instructions have been given to them. But they don't know a whole lot about God. They don't know a whole lot about serving God and really being around the Spirit of God in you. Get where God's at, they get real uncomfortable. They just don't understand it. Amen? And they almost title you as being a nut. Amen? Because you just get where God's at. Amen? And just enjoy God. It breaks my heart. And God's people today, when it comes to their relationship with the Lord, it just saddens my heart. And we, I believe we're a little over, not the norm, but we still got some just come and go Christians here. So just ho-hum, showed up for church, went home, and then just going through the process. And loved ones, I want to tell you this morning, there's more to it than that. There's a personal relationship you can have with the Lord. I ain't talking about salvation. I'm talking about a walk. God said, I've come that you might have life and have it how? More abundantly. Amen? And there's a process there that you can get involved in the Lord's work. And know God and know God personally. And it just breaks my heart to see that. It breaks my heart to just see the contentment of day in and day out, Sunday after Sunday, month after month, year after year, and never really know the real God. Never have a desire to seek God and to be around God. It saddens my heart to see that many are just simply satisfied with getting in. Never want to move away from just getting in. And like I say, we're the exception, I believe, here. I really do. And I know there are a lot of churches around this country that there's some exceptions there. And I want to preach about that this morning. I want to preach about when God shows up. And bring the story out here of Moses in the backside of the desert there in Exodus chapter 3. And show you some things about that. And how it changed Moses' life when the Lord showed up there. And maybe it'll help us some this morning to just want a deeper walk with the Lord, a deeper relationship. I've tried to figure out what the difference in today's Christianity and yesterday's Christianity, and that it's same salvation, same Bible, same Holy Ghost, but what it is, a desire to know God and know Him in a real way, I believe has left the hearts of God's people today, and they're totally content in just showing up for church, having two hymns, one special, and a 30-minute sermon, and leave and get out, amen, before the crowd gets down to the restaurant. Many churches, and probably got some here today already, you're looking at your watch, and you say, well, I told him I'd be there at 12:30. I told him I'd be there at 1 o'clock. And you're wondering how long I'm going to preach. Amen? Because you made every plan in the world except being with God and meeting with God this morning on the amen, on Sunday. Nothing wrong with plans on Sunday. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with, hey, I'm going to go do this and do that. But you need to set some time aside, amen, to let God work in your heart. A lot of times we get in church, and like this morning we had three people, three special singing, and I got to looking at the clock, and then the girls got up here, and I thought, well, if God shows up, you're going to mess up a whole lot of plans today. And you hinder God. You choke Him. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Or where there's liberty, the Spirit of the Lord is. See, God comes where you give Him liberty to come. God will come in your life if you'll give Him the freedom to do that. God will deal with you if you allow Him to do that. God will bless you if you allow Him to do that. And I show you that this morning in this message. So I want you to turn your attention to Exodus chapter 3. And we read there, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. Now you realize there in chapter 2 where Moses, he was raised there in the house of Pharaoh. He went out and he killed a person and all that. And then Pharaoh heard about it and he had to flee from him. And so Moses ended up down here, and he done got married and all that, and he became a shepherd. And the Bible tells us, in studying the Bible, he spent about 40 years down there. He's about 40 years old. He spent in Pharaoh's house, 40 years in Egypt, and 40 years serving the Lord. So I don't know what period of time this was, but Moses had become content with what Jethro had given him to do. Now, knowing Moses, and Moses knowing how he was spared as a baby, and then how God turned around and let his mother raise him at the devil's expense. Amen. With all the finery and all that, I'm pretty sure Moses somewhere in his life thought, you know, maybe God's got something special for me. He had to think about it. He's the one that wanted to go back to his people. He's the one that knew that the Hebrews was his people. And he wanted to go back to them and go back and live amongst them and be what they are. And so I'm pretty sure that somewhere in his life, he thought about, wonder what God has, but now Moses already become content with just going out and tending a few sheep. And this is where God shows up. When God shows up, the daily routines get changed. Amen? It says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father, and the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God. Now, he was in the backside of the desert. He was very content. Evidently, he had quite a bit. He's making a pretty good living. He might even had him a lamb chop packed up that day for his lunch. I mean, he was settled in and no thoughts of no cares. Nobody knew where he was at except just a few people. Pharaoh couldn't find him, and he thought perhaps God couldn't find him. But here he was going through there one day, and lo and behold, something very unusual happened. Wonder how many times he'd been by that bush. You know what happens to us many times? We get in a routine. And we don't want no abnormal. We don't want no extra. We don't want to get where God can use us. I mean, I've been doing this 50 years, and what, God, don't you show up and mess this thing up. God, I am content in that little church, and God, I don't have no responsibilities, and Lord, I don't, hey, God, don't deal with my heart, because I'm saved, and I'm going to heaven, and that's good enough for me. So you get content. And you get where you're satisfied with nothing. As a child of God now. Well, Moses is bebopping out through there that day, and he evidently was a pretty good piece away from that bush, and he looked over there, and the bush was burning. The bush burning is not what drawn Moses' attention. It wasn't consumed is what got his attention. Because, see, he'd probably seen a lot of bush burn. They might even burn some of that stuff off so the sheep could graze. Lightning might have set a few of them on fire. So that wasn't a big shock to Moses. The big shock to Moses was, there's something unusual about that bush because it's a burning and it ain't being consumed. When God shows up, He'll mess up your daily routine. He'll mess up your plans. That little boy you raising right now to play for Alabama, God might call him into the ministry. Send him to a mission field. That little girl that you've raised to be a petite little girl, and you've dressed her proper, and boy, you made sure she had all the fine things of life, and you made sure that she never had any hardship. She might end up somewhere where it's real hard, where she don't even have a bed to lay down in, where she don't have proper food, where she can't take two baths a day. Amen? Where she might have head lice due to the people she's dwelling among and trying to reach. Where she might get all kind of diseases that's uncurable. Boy, that's a shocker, ain't it? Where people hate her. People won't love her. And that's a lot of times why we don't want God in nothing we're doing, because when God gets in it, things get to changing. I thank God I had no plans when I got saved. My plan was the next party. That was my plan. I mean, I had to work, support my family, but I had no plans. My plans went from Friday to Friday, payday to payday, good time to good time. Amen? Drunk to drunk, high to high. Nothing wrong with good plans. See, when I got in this thing, I got in on my belly. So everything that happens to me is good. Amen, brother. You don't ever see me down about something happening to me because I probably deserved it anyway. Everything is up. Even when it's down, it's up. Let's go. When you crawl in on your belly like an old snake, you're always looking up. I've had people tell me, well, I'm just comfortable around you. You seem to have so much control. You seem to be in charge. I'm happy as a lark, man. I am tickled to death. This is good for me. Amen? And some of y'all, you think you give up something to be in the work of God. You think you give up something to start going to church. And loved ones, you ain't give up nothing. You've gained everything. I tell you what I give up. I give up a front seat in hell. That's what I give up. Amen? I give up the curse of God being on my head when I got saved. And so it's all up for me. That's why you don't like God to show up. That's why you get nervous when God starts dealing with your heart. And start dealing with your loved one's heart. Some of you ladies here have a nervous breakdown if that husband stood up and said, hey, God's called me to preach. God's called me to the mission field. The first thing you ask, which one? Amen. Don't send me to no hard one. You want to be a missionary to the beachcombers in Hawaii, don't you? Hey, we'll go there. Amen. Amen. They speak English. I ain't going where they don't speak English. Now, I can tell you that one thing. If you got in when you didn't have nothing, it wouldn't take a whole lot to impress you this morning. You wouldn't want God to give you marching orders like the, 10 of them, and you'll pick the one you want. I'm sorry to tell you, God don't deal like that. Bless God, when God showed up with Moses, He didn't give Moses a choice. He didn't tell Moses, now you can go to Egypt, you can go to Israel. Moses, I'd like for you to do something with me. Here's a choice. See, the routine, your daily routine gets all upset. Every man of God in here, every preacher called to preach in here, buddy, when God put that touch on your life, when God saved your soul, things started changing in your life. Man, I've met preachers that walked away from very successful business. I've met preachers that has lost thousands and thousands of dollars in a house because God put them on the mission field, put them in Bible school, and they couldn't sell their house. Amen? I've met preachers that didn't have a place to live because they was in the work of God. I've met preachers that didn't have a decent house to live in and never lived in a decent house. Or they're serving God. See, when God gets involved in your life, your routine will change. Things won't be the same. And He won't be the same. Sometime that little husband that you could henpeck every morning, God get a hold of him, you can't peck on him no more. He's unpeckable. How y'all like that word? Amen? I tell you, I'm coming along, eh, brother? Mother Comer, I'm coming on up there. I'm going to go coast to coast here in about another 40 years. Amen. No doubt Moses did this day after day, month after month. No doubt that he had all the plans when he kissed Miss Moses goodbye that I see in a couple of weeks. Amen. Hey, come on. Move your mind away from them video games, whatever you've been watching. Go on back to the backside of the desert with Moses this morning. I mean, I'm pretty sure he told her goodbye. And, honey, about 2 weeks is how long he stayed out with the sheep. And I'm pretty sure his turn had come. And he told Miss Moses, I'll see you in a couple of weeks. Or, you mean? And he left and everything hunky-dory. They probably planned on going to Florida when he got in off that. Amen? They had a vacation plan. Go up to the mountains, relax a little bit because life is hard. And we need to get away for a while. We've been away 2 weeks. But when he come home, he's different. Can you imagine him marching back in there? Say, honey, I got something to tell you. You ain't going to believe this. I seen a burning bush that wasn't being consumed. She said, you're drunk. The sun has got to you, Moses. Amen. And you know what else, honey? God has called me to deliver Israel out of Egypt. You've been smoking your socks. Some of you wives have got that announcement, haven't you? Well, Miss Meyer got it. Everybody said, well, what about that? She's at first I heard about it. I didn't talk to my wife about my call. Wasn't none of her business. It still ain't none of her business. Come on, you died on me right there, didn't you? What if she disapproved of it? Your call on your life is your business. Ain't got nothing to do with her. You don't discuss it with her to see if she agrees with it. You ain't a charismatic that you and your wife pastoring, are you? You and your wife is in the ministry? Amen? Mr. and Mrs. Pastor? Amen. That call is up to you and God, and you better decide between you and God and quit talking to everybody about it. Amen? When God settles it in your heart, He'll work on her heart. Her heart will get right. Her heart will be tuned to you. You won't have to drag her nowhere if you're the kind of man you ought to be. Amen? She'll go with you willingly. Why? Because she'll trust you. And she'll trust her God. Not only when God shows up, the daily routines are broken, but also when God shows up, the norm becomes abnormal. Look what He says there in verse 2. An angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. See, when God gets in this thing, everything gets abnormal. I went to California in about early 90s, and Wendy and Myra went with me, my daughter and my wife, and we got Brother Andrus to take us down to the Hollywood Rodeo or whatever that thing is there, Rodeo Drive. We went down there, and when we left, my wife and my daughter called it the preacher's tour. I looked at everything different than what they looked at. Amen? I enjoyed it. I mean, it blowed me away to see a $2,500 dress that had enough material in it to make a diaper for a gnat. I mean, that how you can take that much material and make that much money, that's impressive to me. But it was the preacher's tour. Amen? And preachers look at things different. See, the norm becomes abnormal. You hear something, you think totally different than what the average Christian thinks. I'm sorry, you do. It's the way God has programmed you, the way your mind works. Amen? You hear something everybody's shouting about, you stand over there thinking, well, you know, that ain't going to work. God does something for you. Oh, Moses there, with a norm, came abnormal. That little path running down by that bush that morning, it became a part of a miracle. God done something in Moses' heart that day. See, when God shows up, there's something different about you. You preacher's wife sitting right here right now, if you'll be honest with yourself and your husband's a preacher, it's like he ought to be. When he's in that pulpit, you feel like you're totally disconnected from him. Is that not right? If it don't, bless God, there's something wrong with your call and something wrong with your preaching. When you get in that pulpit, you ain't hers no more. You belong to the Lord then. Amen? And preacher, let me tell you something. If you can't minister to your family, you need to get out of the ministry. You need to live to where when you stand and preach and teach, that you can minister to your family that lives with you 24/7. There's something happens that's different. Myra tells me that a lot. She said, when you're up there, you ain't mine no more. Somehow the disconnect takes place. Why? Because God's in charge. God's running the show. See, the normal becomes abnormal. That's why I preach to you preachers and talk to you all the time. If you ain't living right at home, don't be in this pulpit. You are of none effect whatsoever. When that little wife's sitting there thinking, what's that sucker doing up there preaching? He ain't right at home. I know every sin he's got. Amen? There's something wrong with your life. You preachers here this morning that's got children, if you're not their favorite preacher, there's something wrong with you. Amen? Ask my three kids who's their favorite preacher. I didn't set out to do that. Ask them. They'll tell you, all three of them. Even the one ain't even church will tell you. I didn't set out to be big. I didn't set out to be their hero. Bless God, I tried to live for God. Why? Because the norm became abnormal. Your desire would change. Amen? Your direction in life would change. Your decisions would be different. Your dress would change. I got saved, I didn't even have a suit. I saved about 3 months. God laid on my heart, you need to go get your suit. Amen? I see that right here among some of these young preachers. You say, why you need a suit? Because that's what you preach in. Amen? And your desires have changed. Your dress has changed. You think different. You act different. You behave different. Things that you once liked, don't like. And I'm talking to preacher, but I'm going to tell you just the norm of the average church member sitting here this morning. If you ever let God get a hold of you like God wants to get a hold of you, there'll be a lot about you that'll change. That Hollywood crowd won't impress you no more. You quit going to the movie houses and seeing that filth on there and just blocking it out of your mind. I'm preaching some of you here this morning, ain't I? spending $15, $20 to see that bunch of heathens. Amen. And the movie's so bad that you can't even put it on public television without editing it. You have no business sitting in them movie houses. And there ain't nothing in there that's spiritual. Nothing's going to help you as a spiritual man. That ain't going to do nothing but feed that flesh and that stinking flesh, and it'll take you 2 months to get over that garbage. Once you've sat and watched that or read something you ain't supposed to read, it'll take you 2 months to get it cleaned out of your head. There ain't nothing come out that's worth going and looking at no more. There's a couple little cartoons, that movie Cars. Of course, it's already on video. I like that. Ain't a curse word in it nowhere. It's clean. Ain't no nakedness. Amen? It's a good movie. I watch it. Tyler's got it. Me and him watch it two or three. I like it. Because he got cars there, one reason. The norm becomes abnormal. You'll begin to think more like God would think. You'll begin to look at things more like God looks at things. And those things will bother you when you're around the wrong thing. See, Moses, no longer was he just Moses, the son-in-law of Jethro. He was Moses, the man of God that was called to lead Israel out. See, somewhere down the road, we're no longer just Brother Charlie. We're no longer just Brother Jack. We're no longer just Brother Combs. Amen? There's certain people in this church, I can think of you. I can think about you, and automatically you encourage me just to think about you. You say, why? I know you're doing right. I know you're trying, you're striving, you're dependable. Amen? You got character. You got your ducks in a row. You're trying to raise. Just the thought of you encourages me. Amen. Ain't that the way it ought to be? Amen. If we do step out here and go and try to buy a building or something, I know there's some people here that's with me all the way. I don't ever have to look back and see where they're at. They're there. Our mission conference coming up. I mean, hey, I'm encouraged already that we're going to do better than what we done last year. Why? Because I know there's some good people here. Why? Because somewhere they allowed God to come in their life and start dictating their life, and they started tuning their heart to the things God wants in their life. That normal will become abnormal. See, I'm not content anymore with the things I was content with prior to salvation. I've never been contented with my service to the Lord. I've never been contented with my sacrifice to the Lord. I've never been contented with my submission to the Lord. I want to submit more. I want to sacrifice more. I want to serve more. I want to do more. Amen? When God shows up, you'll let Him. God will change your life. Another thing, your relationship with God will change. Look in verse 4. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Now, Moses knew who God was, but I believe it kind of shocked old Moses when God knew who he was. It's one thing to know who God is. It's totally different for God to know who you are. Anywhere in the Bible that I could find where God addressed someone personally like that, tremendous things took place. Is your relationship there? Do you believe for 1 minute that God knows who you are on a personal basis? I think He knows who I am. I think He knows who a lot of these people are. Have I ever heard Him say, Charlie, Charlie? No. But I tell you what, He sure is personal. He's personal to me. And brother, when that prayer gets just like it ought to be, you think, if you open your eyes, you look Him straight in the face. That's personal. Or when that decision is so strong in your heart, or whatever you're praying over, whatever you're trying to decide, and that thing is so strong and so firm, that's personal. And you're willing to lose everything because you know without a shadow of a doubt God's in this thing. That's personal. See, if you let the Lord get in your life like God needs to get in your life, He won't be my God. He won't be their God. He'll become your God. He'll become a God that you can talk to, a God you can trust, a God you can rely on, a God that you can have confidence in, a God that you can put everything on Him. A God, when you're going through trouble, you know He's right there with you. When your heart's broke, you know He's right there with you. Hey, when you're in the emergency room, you're right there with you. Hey, when you're in a divorce court, He's right there with you. Why? Because He's become your God. It won't fear you to go to the doctor no more. Because God will go with you. He's with you. He's my God. When you got a dollar in your pocket, it'll be all right. Why? Because He's my God. When you get great responsibilities, it'll be all right. Why? He's going to help me. But I've been put on some spots in preaching. I have to preach a certain kind of something, you know, or And you know what? God's brought me through every time. He's my God. Man, I've been called to preach at funerals that I didn't want to preach. And if there's any way I could have got out of it, I would. It always works. Had to sit down and talk somebody face to face. Makes me a nervous wreck. I know y'all don't believe that. But I'm a nervous wreck when I have to deal with some problems. But you know, God comes in there and just soothes that thing out. Well, He's my God. You know what's sad here this morning? Many of y'all don't know that God. All you know Him as is a Savior. You have no clue who He is as a friend. We read the Scriptures. You can read all the Scriptures, but you don't have a clue. He's not your mama's God, your daddy's God. He's your God. I appreciate the testimonies of these young people that come back from the mountains the other day, how God showed up that Saturday night there in their service and kind of confirmed to them that He's their God too. Amen? He's Rebecca's God. He's Lauren's God. I mean, kids that age, they can have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they can have a relationship with God Almighty. I'd rather have kids praying for me than any adult. Moses got a personal relationship. Look what it says there in verse 3. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. You notice something there in verse 3. Moses said, I will now turn aside. Do you realize one reason you're in the condition you are this morning? You ain't never turned aside. You're not willing to be inconvenienced. You're not willing to be discomfort. And that's the mindset of society today. You're not willing to turn aside. You're not willing to change your ways, change your mind thought, change your direction. Because you got all these plans, and if God showed up, it'd mess up your whole life. See, God there would have never, I believe with all my heart, Moses could have looked, seen it, and thought about it, and walked on down the path, and God had got somebody else to deliver Israel. But see, God didn't talk to him until he turned aside. And then it said, God seeing that he turned aside. See what it says right there? Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside. You know when God done a work in his heart? When he saw that he turned aside. Amen? We can slide in here all you want to. You can say your prayers. You can cry them alligator tears. As long as it's convenient. When are you going to turn aside? Stop what you're doing. Stop the direction you're going. And turn aside. And show God that you're serious about this thing. God, I want something from you. God, I need something from you. God, I need that touch on my life. God, I need that unction on my life. God, I need some confidence put in my life. And you're willing to turn aside. You're willing to forget about your plans. All them plans you got. We sent a missionary to Northern Ireland 20-something years ago. He had plans to build 25 independent Baptist churches in 25 years. Dumbest thought you ever had in your life. That's dumb. In Northern Ireland? How many churches he built? He built two of them. Both of them crumbled. He'd been off the field about 10 years. Amen? You better forget about your plans. And you better get in God's plan. And you need to take some time to turn aside. See, Moses had a personal relationship with God. Why? He'd go to the trouble to get where God wanted him. You know what we do most of the time? We give them up with all these plans, say, God bless this mess, and off we go. We don't ever consider what God wants. See, we're always willing to pray an hour. Are we willing to listen an hour? Amen. Are we willing to listen an hour? Are we willing to get in a quiet place and let God talk to us a little bit? Oh, man, I pray an hour every morning. How much do you listen? How much do you just have some quiet time? Turn off the stinking radio. Turn off the CD, good music, solid music. Turn off the preacher. Turn off everything and let God talk to you a little bit. I like to travel for only one reason. That's some of the most precious fellowship that I have with the Lord is in that old truck or that car. Turn all that stuff off. And boy, me and God, we just figure it all out for hours upon hours upon hours. And if anybody had asked, I got the solution to the world's problem. But nobody ever asked. See, we're missing God a lot of times. Why? We're not willing. Do you realize right here, preacher, you can be so busy in the ministry that you ain't even in the ministry? Seriously. You can get so committed to the things of God that you ain't even in the ministry. You can get so committed to your family that you ain't doing no good for your family. Why? You're running wide open. You hit the floor in the morning, you got 200 things you got to do that day. And God, I'm going to get back to you, God. Yes, God, I'm going to pray before I lay down tonight. Yeah, God, I'm going to pray. God, I know I didn't pray this morning. God, I know I didn't read my Bible. But I'm going to get back to you, Lord. And you're running wide open. You're doing the work of the Lord. But God ain't nowhere around it. See, Moses, he was willing to turn aside. Are you willing to turn aside? We tried here one time to take a bunch of men and go up above Jasper to a lake up there. Had a family, had a lake house up there. Going to go up there and pray and fast. Biggest mess in the world. Never amounted to nothing. Most of them went up there and slept all the time. Amen. That was years and years and years ago. Never went back. Amen. I'd like to do something like that again. But when you do that, you got to stop, make time, and the most important thing in your life is God. Lord, I want what you want from me. God, I want direction in my life. God, I want that anointing in my life. We quote these old preachers. I mean, we imitate them. We want to be like them. But we're not willing to give what they give to get there. Moses turned aside. And God, it says there in verse 4, because God saw that he turned aside. You know what I've seen in the Bible, all through the Bible? God will never do nothing for you till you're willing to do something for him. Amen? And what I'm talking about there, all through the Bible, God say, I need to do that. Then whoever he's speaking to will do this. And then God will do whatever he wants to do with it. See, relationship with God is more than salvation. A relationship with God is knowing him and him knowing you and trusting him and him trusting you and depending upon him and him depending upon you. That's what difference between a real man of God and a preacher. That's the difference. The call to preach is not a call to minister. Your preaching don't minister a whole lot. The ministry is 24/7. You are the ministry. It's inseparable. You can't separate you from the ministry. Your very presence is a ministry if you've got God on you. Just somebody being around you is ministering to them if you've got the right attitude and got God on you. You find comfort in their presence. Now, I'm saying stuff this morning that's blowing some of y'all's mind. Just because you can preach ain't got nothing to do with nothing. A lost man preach, what's the world's that got to do with anything? But then I've heard some of them do some mighty fine preaching. I mean, they got the movements. They can jump the pew. They can walk, do backflips. Cartwheel, I mean, they can get it on. Find out later the sucker wasn't even saved. There's a difference in the call to preach and the ministry. Moses had a relationship. Now, one more thing. The humble obedience of Moses. Look what it says in verse 5 and 6. And he said, draw not nigh hither. God said, don't come over here. Ho-ho, Moses. He said, pull off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standeth is holy ground. And moreover, he said, I am the God of my father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. This nonchalant, flippant, gum-chewing crowd that comes to the altar with all these burdens and problems and gets up and goes off giggling the whole way, waste of time. When God showed up, Moses humbled himself and was obedient. Amen? And it said that Moses was afraid. Moses hid himself. He didn't even want to look at God. See, that's what the holiness of God will do. That's why these churches where Jesus is not being lifted up and being praised and honored and worshiped and all that hoopla is going on in them churches, God ain't nowhere around it. But when God gets in that thing, you'll humble yourself down. Y'all remember our service here a couple of years ago at camp meeting? God got in it. I'm talking about real. That's when God called, seven preachers that night? And we had eight saved? But now we've programmed this thing. We got our programs. We got our speakers. We got our professional singers. And we got to stay right with it. And God don't, amen, not willing to turn aside. You sit here now, it's almost 12:30. See, you've turned aside since 12. See, you've been inconvenienced. Of course, y'all used to it around here. Amen. Hey, it won't ever be no different. I'm sorry. It will never be no different. I refuse to run by a clock. They put a lot of my stuff now on that sermon audio and other places. And I told Brother Linton when he wanted to do that, I am not preaching. And I'm going to say what God puts on my heart. And so what they do, they edit it, in which I appreciate that. Had 6,500 downloads in the last 8 months. Downloads. People taking it off. But I won't be restricted to no time slot. I won't be restricted to a certain crowd of people. Bless God, if I want to talk about Rebels, I'll talk about them. I want to talk about Yankees, I'll talk about them. It's all in fun anyway. If you're that thin-skinned, you ain't going to stay here long no way. Bless God, if that stuff offends you, you won't be here very long. But we get right on down where rubber meets the road. It's all in fun. Go with me up north sometime and hear them rail on my language, don't they? And pick at me and try to find out what's that word mean. Oh, they do it all the time. I don't get offended. I can't help it if they're stupid. I don't offend me. But this crowd that's just nonchalant and they've just lowered God down. I mentioned it this morning, just brought him right on down. You know why they don't humble themselves? Because they brought God down to where they're at. I'm going to tell you, you get in the real presence of God, it'll humble you. You get in that prayer closet when you really got some serious praying to do. You might go in there a little high-minded, but I tell you what, when you come out of there, you're humble. You are humble. And you feel that you're the most unworthy thing to ever be, even God to be in your presence, much less God using you. And that's what Moses did. He humbled Moses. Moses doubted the call of God. Two chapters later there, he said, well, what about if they do this? What about if they do that? What about if they do this? Just not the call of God on his life, the fact that he was in the presence of God is what humbled him. Amen? That's why these church services, like they are in many of these churches now, come as you are churches. Amen? Your little how are you shirt and your short shorts and your flip-flops. They don't know the God I know. Bless God, the God I know, you humble yourself down when he shows up. These little girls get up here and sing. You say they cry all the time? No, they don't. I've seen them sing 1,000 times, not cry. But boy, you talking about God bearing your burdens, the unseen hand? They ain't crying because they're upset. They're crying because that's a humbling thought, that God would care for me. God would talk to me. God would say, God would know my needs and help meet my needs. That's what's humbling about that thing. Man, you ever just got all by yourself sometime or just sitting and thinking? Last couple of days been that way with me. I just think about God and start crying. I mean, it just amazes me that God would talk to me. That God would know me. That God would let me do something for Him. I'm still amazed. Just in His presence that the God of heaven, the God of creation, knows me. I go through them about once a year, once every 2 years. But boy, it's just like God just said, well, you take a little more and I'm going to give you a little more now. I think you've digested that other pretty good. I'm going to put a little more in there for you. He can't give it to us all at one time. We'll choke on it. We'll go nuts. They'd be calling us like they did old Paul. So much learning made thee mad. And you preachers know exactly what I'm talking to. Some of you right now, you're in your early growth stages. But every once in a while, it seems like God just comes over and just helps you a little more. Just opens the top of your head and pours just a little more in there. You got to do it slow, see, because you get all lifted up in pride. You really get thinking you're something. Amen? Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. If God would have given to me what I got now, even in responsibility or relationship with Him, I could not have handled it. I'd have messed that thing up. It's what God does. And I ain't talking to preacher. I'm talking to anybody here. You want some victory? Get yourself along with God. You want God to give you some help? Then why don't you just turn aside for a little while? Forget about that friend that you're going to meet. Forget about that trip to the mall. Forget about that entertainment that you're looking forward to seeing. Amen? Well, how many of you just take a Saturday and just spend it with God? Amen? Get out of the bed at a decent hour and just spend a Saturday with God. Some of you young people. Why don't you? You know why? The goddess of sleep is more important than the God of heaven. Amen? And just spend some time with God. Don't go with nobody because they'll mess you up. Me and Brother Stan goes on and preaches quite a bit. And we neither one get much done because we talk all the time. I'm being honest with you. And you know you do the same thing. You girlfriends and boyfriends. You can't take nobody and go get along with God. You got to go get along with God by yourself. But Moses just humbled himself down. God said, put off him shoes. I mean, they went straight in there. It's whatever you need, Lord. I'm willing to obey. And see, when you get in the presence of God, it's a totally different situation. What did Peter say over there in Luke 5, Mark 5, Luke 5? He said, depart from me, Lord, for I'm unworthy. Why? He was in the presence of God. Oh, I mean, it's all through the Bible. When God shows up, man goes down. Now, you can get up and shout a little bit after a while, But, buddy, if you ain't living right for God, when God shows up, you know what you're going to do? You're going to hit your knees. You're going down. You're going to humble yourself and thank God. You're going to be fearful. Amen? It ought to make you nervous when He comes around. He might be going to bless you, but then He might not. He might be going to put a knot on your head. Don't it help you examine yourself real quick, I'm talking about, real quick. I sit right there on that pew and I tell Tim 9 out of 10 times, I said, He's coming, and boy, it won't be long, here He comes. And that sweet Spirit of God will blow through here, and boy, it'd get crazy in here for a little bit. People shouting, enjoying God. I just know when He's coming. I told him out there, Miss Anna got to crying out there. I thought somebody had offended her, and boy, I was fixing to skin her head. And God done got a hold of her. When you see Anna cry, bless God, you better buckle up, because it's fixing to get on. Anna or Brother Tom, either one of them. When you see any kind of emotions out of them, reach down and grab the pew, because it's fixing to get crazy. And I looked, I said, what happened to her? Brother Tim said, I don't know. And then finally I realized the Lord dealing with her heart. I said, hang on. It was about 2 seconds, man. Here come God at that Indian church. So we had a tie out there that time. How many of you here this morning desire that? Why preach about how it used to be? Why talk about how it used to be? Ladies, I got one of the most precious pictures given to me this morning. And it's Brother Carl Lackey and his little wife. They never had any children. But she won thousands and thousands of them people in them mountains to the Lord with a load of bubble gum. I got their picture in there. Brother Tim got me a copy of it. Amen? Why don't you this morning? I said, God, I want what you got. God, I want some children to be raised that bring glory and honor to you. How about you, preacher, here tonight? You want to be just another preacher, or you want that touch? I know we call it that touch, but I'm just talking about a relationship with God. There ain't nothing. You ain't going to see a 900-foot Jesus. You're not going to see a dove come down out of heaven and light upon you. But how about just a personal relationship with God? God, help me raise these kids. God, help me be a daddy. God, help me be a mama. God, help me not just to preach another message. God, go through another formality of service. God, help me, Lord, here this morning to have a relationship with you. Are you willing this morning just to turn aside and let God do a work in your heart? You won't ever be used for Him in a mighty way unless you are. And I'm not talking about mission field. I'm talking about just a daily walk with God. Before God can do that for you and put you in service, you've got to have a relationship with Him. A service that will be successful. Would you do that? If you don't want to come, would you just turn around and pray where you're at? Say, God, help me. Just remain quiet in the pews if you would to get through praying here.